Good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy Saturday. Welcome to another episode of Thinking Out Loud with Jesse. Today we're going to be talking about success and how I think the internet broke the idea of it. The kind of inspiration for this episode today is one staggering statistic. Over 70% of Gen Z want to be influencers. So this got me thinking a little bit about what we're up to in today's world, what makes people get up in the morning, what makes them want to be successful. And seeing this, it really just made me start to think a little bit more about the internet and how the internet didn't just change our idea of what success looks like, it broke it entirely. And what I mean by that is, you know, before we had success pretty well defined as a house, a car, a promotion, being well known in your community. Now, with that 70% of Gen Z, you can see that success has been warped, it's been shifted. It looks more like a private island. It looks more like 2 million subscriptions, fan life in Bali, 100K in passive income without having to lift your finger, and looking good while you're doing all of that. So, you know, I know people who are quietly successful. They own a home, they have families, they're great at making money and doing something real. Offline, they're thriving. Online, they barely register, and sometimes that disconnect really does mess with them. So if everyone is chasing the same dream, but only 0.1% of people make it, what happens to the other 99% of us that are struggling to look successful? You don't have to lose to feel like you're losing. You just have to keep scrolling. And that's one of the biggest problems that we run into today. So when we look at the episode in its entirety, we're going to be talking about how success kind of broke this idea within people. And it has caused us to completely reframe where we sit and our entire values behind the backdrop of everyone else that we're doing it. This is a callback to several episodes that we've already talked about, just like the hedonic treadmill, just like how you're on a different path, not that you're lost. These are things that are going to be central to this episode as well, right? So when we look at this topic, we kind of got to go back in time a little bit. We got to look at before the internet. Local metrics and scarcity were the drivers of your entire conception of what success looks like. You compared yourself to neighbors, to coworkers, to people down the road within your social community, maybe a doctor, a banker, or a guy with a boat or the very nice car. Success was always linear, and it was measured by milestones. Stable job, family, mortgage paid off. You got the lions in front of the house to signify it being paid off. These were, you know, easy and early markers of success. There were also lots of gatekeepers, both at the institutional level. Your employers were also severe gatekeepers in many situations. Newspapers and media were also feeding the system. Scarcity framed expectations. The less options you have, the less overwhelmed you are, the more linear your path was. There's some other context to add into this too. When we look at Dunbar's number, for example, you know, the idea that you can only know 150 people, give or take, in your social circle. You know their names, stories, context, and that kept comparisons grounded. Obviously, Dunbar's number is completely out of the window today with, you know, how many people you can be following. On social media as well, everyone, celebrities, coworkers, influencers, exist in the same feed. It's like comparing yourself to a highlight reel cut from someone's movie. In the 70s, you know, 1970s, a time I often hark back to, the middle class dream is a little bit more of the definition of success. A house, a pension, a vacation once a year. That same life is often viewed now as an underachievement. And that's not how I agree with it either. I think that that's something, you know, to strive for anybody. But middle class has become a little bit of, I don't know, it seems a little bit not as desirable in the backdrop of a lot of the modernity, a lot of what we define success as today. My dad used to tell me to buy property all the time, and he still does. Now, that's just one part of a 10-level flex ladder in terms of our understanding of success. Buying property is only one aspect of it. You need to be seen doing and achieving and flexing to really have that success in today's world. Back then, success was kind of invisible. You would talk to someone, you'd learn more about them, but they weren't necessarily as flashy. There were physical and material elements to this, and you could always tell somebody's wealth based on that, but that's kind of where the buck stopped. Today, if it's not on Instagram, it didn't happen. And so when we look at this, we can kind of call it the algorithmic explosion. something akin to the printing press, the Industrial Revolution, and the internet era. If you followed this channel for a little while, you know I love to talk about these macro movements because it really helps us ground ourselves in what I'm talking about today. There's a lot of parallels. The printing press exploded information access, but it also devalued oral tradition. It completely changed the way the economy was organized. It completely changed the way success was understood. And certain professions completely went away overnight because their values changed relative to the technology and the developments of the time. Similarly, the Industrial Revolution did the same thing. It elevated factory productivity and commoditized the worker. As opposed to having a farm, traditional life with your family, now you're in the factory, you're working a lot longer hours, and you're probably debilitating your body. These are massive changes from farm life, obviously. Following this, you have the internet. The internet turned visibility and attention into currency. In doing so, it collapsed any sort of nuance, privacy, quiet success, all of these things have gone away, right? And one of the key shifts we can note here is local comparisons changing to a global performance arena now, where you're really, you know, there's always somebody doing it better than you. There's always someone who's going a little bit more deep into that topic, and it is an endless comparison trap. Now, we've talked about this quite a bit on this podcast as well, especially in the episode where I talk about how you're on a different path than everybody else. I can link that above. One thing for me is there are three major disruptions when we look at this global performance arena. Number one, everyone is visible, but only the loudest go viral. So you're not really getting the best of the best, you're getting the loudest and the most frequent posters. You also compare your first draft to someone else's final draft. This is what makes starting things so difficult, is because if you're not coming and rivaling professionals in their arena on your first post, then what are you doing, right? The baseline of success has really been inflated by beyond reality. And so when you look at these three shifts, it's clear what's going on here. And it's clear that now it's a global performance arena instead of, you know, buddy down the street, or, you know, a lot of people, when they go and see family members, they're making comparisons with Johnny down the street or your cousin or your brother. That kind of thing was pretty normal. This is amplified X 1,000 in this algorithmic amplification, right? Extremes are rewarded. Hotter takes, flashier lifestyles, quicker wins. Virality really does skew what's normal. And most creators don't go viral because they're great. They go viral because the algorithm needed something sticky. And that's not always something that we can control. When you scroll, you're not seeing success. You're seeing survivorship bias with a ring light. Your identity used to be tied to community roles as a teacher, as a mechanic, as a mom, or a dad. Now, you're expected to be a niche, a brand, a platform, a story. Everything becomes performative. Even rest and relationships are now performative. People sharing their whoop scores is kind of a flex these days, right? And it's nice to see health coming back to the forefront, but when it's performative health, you gotta ask yourself, is that really achieving the kinds of benefits that it's set out to, right? And so we now have a generation that's pretty well grown up inside the algorithm in Gen Z. Their idea of success is filtered through TikTok, through virality, and not legacy. And this can really warp our understanding, right? When you look at someone like Mr. Beast, for example, he's arguably the most successful YouTuber ever. But there's a guy in your town making $500K a year, who owns three properties, who coaches Little League. Guess who gets more attention? Guess who's freer, right? I'm not going to say who's got a little bit more. But when you look at your life, right, success can be different for everybody. But in today's world, nobody's noticing what isn't being posted. And so there is a quiet reality out here. There are tons of people who meet that definition of success, but we don't really know about them. And so you don't really get to compare yourself to somebody who's not out there showing you all about it. So what do? Well, you go to Mr. Beast and you compare yourself to him. And obviously that is a fool's errand because he's got, you know, billions of watchers every day and he's massively successful. And again, that is somebody who's going to be very loud about where they are. Somebody who's a little bit more modest and a little bit more in your lane in terms of comparisons probably isn't shouting this from the rooftops. And that's what can really warp our understandings here, right? A great way of thinking about this, though, is imagine if your grandfather's life was broadcast on TikTok or Instagram. How would it look? And do you think you would view it the same way you do now? Right? Because I'm somebody who has massive respect for my grandfather, who came over here on a boat in the 1960s, who built a family for himself, who went right to work, who did everything according to the book, right? He didn't have TikTok, obviously, so we can't really say what that would look like. But if we were to retroactively capture that via TikTok, how would that reflect on him, and how would that make you feel about success today? Because when I look at his life, he's got things that I'm really looking forward to having in my life. A family, a home, gatherings. He's got a big garden in his backyard. He's got lots of love in his life. These are things that are pretty much immeasurable when it comes to TikTok or social media. And that's kind of my point here is, you know, we can't always view it through the lens of social media and not remember that there are other definitions of this that predate these social media algorithms, right? And so that's kind of where there's a bit of a psychological fallout, in my opinion, with today's world and how you can really have a moment of success or a period of success or finally hit a milestone and it just doesn't hit right. Now, again, I covered this in the hedonic treadmill. So again, if there's an overlap here, many apologies, but even anecdotally, like I've had moments even last year where I hit my number at work, I had a great month and I should have felt really proud. But then I opened up Instagram, and within 5 minutes, I'm comparing myself to a 22-year-old driving a McLaren, claiming he made $300,000 in selling courses last month. You start to question everything, and that's how fast it happens. Your own success can vanish in the shadow of someone else's highlight reel. And we're doing this a lot, right? When we look back to the hedonic treadmill, this is something that we talk about a lot, and you kind of got to step off of it. But you also need to be grateful, be mindful, and be open to that. So when you have this infinite comparison loop, it really does break your internal compass, right? It impacts and it overloads you. You can't really win if the leadership board is endless. Everyone in your feed is doing something cooler, faster, maybe they're younger than you. There's this dysmorphia of success, right? Chasing goals that lose their meaning as soon as we hit them. That is the diminishing returns of the hedonic treadmill, right? You can't reach your goals and then feel emptier before, but that is what's going on. You can't see your own growth because it's invisible online. Another aspect of this is the imposter syndrome. And when you look at this at scale, again, hark back to the You're on a Different Path episode, we measure our self-worth by others' curated versions of reality, right? You've heard me say this before. You feel like a fraud because everyone else looks dialed in. You measure your worth through optics and not outcomes. Finally, there's the brain chemistry aspect of it. And I'm no expert in neuroplasticity, but what I do know is your dopamine, your cortisol levels loop together and spike based on your interaction with these algorithms, with these social media platforms, right? If you get a like, that can be a spike of dopamine, depending who you are and what your metrics are. A scroll can be a spike of cortisol. That combo is a wired addiction. It's anxiety plus addiction in the same little habit. You're addicted because of the dopamine, but anxious because of the cortisol, and that's a trap. And we keep scrolling. We keep doing it. I keep doing it. It's something that happens to me all the time. I have to take these apps off my phone and prevent myself from doing it, right? I've had record-breaking months for myself in sales and still felt like I was behind a 19-year-old dropshipper with a Lambo on TikTok. Is that fair to me? Is that fair to you? I don't think so. And as you know, comparison is the thief of joy. And the algorithm is kind of this getaway driver. It's the evil companion of this negative thoughts. And there's a rule, or if you look at Festinger's social comparison theory, it kind of explains this, right? We don't evaluate ourselves in isolation. We measure worth by stacking it against others, and social media makes that unavoidable and also compounded. So, can you win at success anymore? Or is this just optimized for attention? I don't know if you could ever actually win success. So that's kind of my point is when you look at it, it is not necessarily a win or lose type situation. I've said this enough on this channel as well. Sometimes staying in the game is as important as winning it. And when you look at success in this linear fashion, it's an everyday thing. It's not always these big milestones, right? And so the quietest people in your life might be the most grounded, but the algorithm doesn't bubble them up. And that's a big problem, because we're not seeing enough people that are humble. We're only seeing the people that are loud about their success. And that's where the hustle culture trap kind of comes in as well. Visibility became the product instead of performance. You've got the rise of these grind-set people, escaping the 9-to-5, having 10 streams of income, building while they sleep. We've heard it all, and it's honestly not the end of the world to champion these ideas, but I think that hustle has become an aesthetic and not a path to freedom. None of these people are free. I don't care what you tell me, waking up at 4 a.m. to build your side hustle before you go into work does not sound like a path to fulfillment if you're looking to be free, right? If you're looking to prove to people that you work harder than everyone else, that's the effect that you're gonna get, right? This algorithmic treadmill comes back into play because more content equals less fulfillment. Hustle influencers often aren't rich. They're tired. You become a machine feeding another machine. We turn life into this kind of slot machine where you post, refresh, wait. Maybe this time the jackpot of meaning will hit. A lot of these folks are tired. A lot of the people that are telling you to grind harder, you know, I would love to step into their world for one day and see how far they are along that burnout track, because there is a caveat to all this. There is a trade-off to this, and it's tiredness. It's feeling unfulfilled. It's all of the things we've been talking about on this episode so far. So you got to kind of step back and ask yourself, what is this all for? What am I working towards? And how am I measuring success? Because again, this 1950s understanding of it, of, you know, kind of invisible, respected, rooted in community, has changed into a loud, monetized, and documented process. We used to want to be good at something. Now we want to be seen doing something good. We stopped chasing meaning and we started chasing these metrics. And so that's why I think we need to reframe the idea of success, and it's okay to do that. Real success to me is internal, it's sustainable, it's repeatable, and it's invisible, right? And how you can think about this in terms of frameworks is inputs versus outputs. What can you control in terms of your habits, your relationships, your skill building? What can you not control? What do you need to let go of in terms of followers, reach, and validation, right? What about local? Local first success is the greatest way to do it, in my opinion. Real world impact greatly outweighs any digital applause. And so anybody, you know, you can't spread a hug online. And that's kind of how I look at that, right? If you were to help somebody a lot in their life, they would probably give you a hug for doing that. Tougher to get that kind of feeling online. Doesn't mean you shouldn't be helping people, but just keeping in mind this local sense of it is a really great way of doing it, right? Would you still do stuff if no one saw it? That's where that local thing comes in again. Maybe nobody saw you helping out that person that really needed it. Would you still do that? Okay, then in itself, these things are good for you. But if you're doing it so that you can get a certain amount of views, or so you can prove to your followers that you're not a total asshole, then that's what you're gonna do, right? It drives me nuts to see some of these performative charity posts. I don't ever want to knock people helping others, but you can tell when someone's doing it for engagement as opposed to trying to help others, especially those videos where that you see the guy going into the store and he asks for 100 burgers and he says that he's going to feed the homeless today and he expects the restaurant to completely compensate him for that. That kind of thing drives me nuts, right? You got to be more like my boy Keanu Reeves, who is often donating to things anonymously, often doing extra to make sure that people don't know that this is coming from a celebrity, because the purpose to him is clear. He wants to help people. He's not looking to get points for it. And that's where I think the most impact can be had in terms of success. That's really the North Star for me is, you know, would I still be doing this kind of thing if nobody was watching, right? Another thing to keep in mind, mastery is always better than metrics. A craftsman mindset is worth more than an influencer persona. Deep work is much better than wide reach. And some mental models that you can use to kind of back this up is one that I'm sure a lot of people will know is the Japanese concept of ikigai. It's, you know, purpose lives at the intersection of what you love, what you're good at, and what the world needs also what pays you. So when you find the intersection of what you love, what you're good at, what the world needs, and what pays you, you find ikigai, right? So the faster you can kind of get to these intersections, that's where you're going to end up in life. That's where you belong, right? When we think about success in terms of today, you contrast that with ikigai. Very different things. I don't think anybody in the world needs another TikTok dancer, needs another algorithmic like, needs another trend to kind of dive into, but that's going to happen anyway. So when you look at success, you really got to think about ikigai. You really got to think about deep work and what you're good at and what is meaningful to you. Because if it's not meaningful to you, then it's going to feel rather soul-sucking, and no matter how hard you work at it, you're going to fall short, right? Another mental model to think about is freedom versus time versus status. You can chase two, or probably one, and then have another one, but you can't have all three. And so a lot of these people that are hustle cultures, they don't have a lot of freedom. Their time and their status is more important to them, right? And so I thought about, you know, who is somebody that would meet this definition? That I feel like they're really at the balance of success, hard work, humility, and not burning out. But the wild part about this is I don't really even know someone who fits this description, not personally. I've seen many examples online. I've heard other podcast guests talk about it. But in my world, everyone I know is chasing. They're performing. They're still building for this feed. And maybe that's the point. We're so deep inside this system that we don't know what peace looks like anymore, let alone aspiring to it, right? Contrast the top YouTuber's empire, Mr. Beast, with an anonymous local mentor or grandparent. Who's happier? Who's freer? I don't really know. Again, I'm not in Mr. Beast's life. I can't really speak to how he feels about it. But what I can say is my grandparents are a lot more peaceful. They don't have to grind every day. And they're a little bit older, so maybe that's not a fair comparison. But I look at happiness as a spectrum too, and if anybody is happier, I gotta look into why, right? And when you look at success in general, with the news cycles the way they are, with the chronic onlineness of the world and how it's structured, things have been completely rewired, and how we think about stuff and how we think about how we think has even been rewired, right? And sometimes this leads me to think about, you know, exiting the system and buying some olive farm in Italy and just checking out of it completely. And I think that when you look at success from this lens, obviously we're in a transition period in terms of social media's impact on the world. And it's okay to look at all of this from a broad spectrum and say, you know what? I don't really like this modern definition of success. I don't subscribe to it. It doesn't mean a ton to me. And I'm actually thinking about checking out of the system. This is something that I think about a lot myself. And you know, I'm a hard worker. I love going into work every day. It's something that I'm passionate about. But when you look at success in this way, and you're on Instagram a lot, you're on TikTok a lot, you're on Reddit a lot, it's very easy to look at this and say, you know what? How can I even fit these modern definitions of success, and what does that mean for me? Totally fair, right? Great way of thinking about this, though, is if you died tomorrow, nobody would care how many followers you had. They'd probably care more about how you made them feel. So, yeah, the internet didn't really, it didn't really break our success. It kind of broke our comparison tool. Right? So, you know, it did change the way success is, but as comparative beings, that really messed with our social tool. Our brains are comparative beasts. When you have this mirror of social media and you can go in and look at others, that is a negative and a positive. It can inspire you to do things that you haven't done before. It can broaden your horizons. It can let you know about trends, topics, different jobs that you can do. All of these are really great, right? But the caveat is it adds to our comparative tool, and our brains are hardwired to do this. It's part of how we evolved as humans, and that's kind of what's happening here, is that part of the brain is completely overwhelmed and it's no longer a helpful thing to be comparative, where this kind of idea comes from like a tribal sense, right? When you have a tribe of people thousands of years ago, comparison is a great way to stay evolutionary ahead, right? If somebody has a tool that they're using to fish or hunt or to compete or to find their partner a little bit faster, you're gonna wanna know about that, right? So we're hardwired to do this. But then when you put social media in the hands of our monkey minds, it's really easy to see that it's kind of a runaway train, right? So you might not be behind. You're probably just misaligned with the metrics of somebody else. You know, obviously it's a callback to you're on a different path, another episode of mine. But when you look at others, it's important to remember, hey, this is not a normal thing. We are the first generation of people that has ever been able to compare ourselves to the billions of others across the world in a handy, easy fashion. But maybe there's another way to measure success, and I'm here to help, right? Good questions to ask yourself. And something to keep in mind is we shape our tools, and thereafter, our tools shape us. That's Marshall McLuhan. What I think he means by that is, first, we design the tools, and then we use the tools, and then we adapt to them. And I think now we're adapting to this tool of social media, and it's starting to shape us. And it has completely warped and broken that sense of success. To get back to this, if you're feeling stuck, if you're feeling like, oh my God, I haven't really done what I'm supposed to do, I'm behind in life, there's some great questions to ask yourself to ground. And I think that, you know, a lot of these episodes I'm talking about what's wrong, I'd like to help you as well. Checklist of real success comes in the form of several questions that, you know, if you can answer honestly, you're probably 99% ahead of all these other people that are just using social media as a comparison tool. So the first one to ask yourself is, did I help somebody today without posting about it? Right? Did you do something? Did you brighten someone's day? Did you help them get better at something? Did you do something that, you know, kind of went out of your way? Not for you. It can't be for you, right? Another question that you can ask yourself is, did I get better at something real? The best part about this is you can define that, right? But did I make progress towards something that I'm focused on? Did I lay one brick towards my goal, right? Another question, did I make time for stillness? In today's world, we are moving so fast. It's all about productivity. It's all about how much you can get done in an hour. We have thousands of AI tools that can increase productivity, that can write our social media posts for us, that can reach out to people. Shoot, we even have AI agents that are going to be doing this now instead of being told to create the email and we send it. We're going to just be sending these out in the world. So did I make time for stillness? Did I slow things down? Was I present? Was I mindful? Or was I rushing through stuff, right? And if the answer is no, then you should probably look at slowing down a little bit. Another question that you can really ask, and it's a really good barometer of, you know, where am I in terms of real success, is did I honor my body? Was I doing something that helped me get better, helped me get healthier, helped me get stronger? Did I stretch? Did I have a glass of water? All of these things count, right? And if you're prioritizing yourself, if you're keeping your mind and your body healthy, that's success to me, because that is one of the most important indicators of long-term life. If you ask anybody who is a little bit older in life, health is going to show up probably in the top three things that they're most focused on and they care the most about. It's not going to be about your job at that point in life, right? So honoring your body is a really great way to be successful. Finally, did I show up fully, even if no one was watching? This one's really hard to do, right? Because we're constantly scrolling. So if you're doing an activity and you dive into it, are you picking up your phone 10 minutes into this progress? Because that's what I do, and I really do struggle with that. I need to book deep work, right? So showing up fully doesn't just mean, you know, when you're working. It means when you're being social, are you really listening to people, or are you thinking about future or past events? Are you being present, right? And that's kind of, you know, it links back to the stillness question. Was I being still? Did I make time for myself? It's very linked, definitely. But being present and being mindful are two real big indicators of success. And you'll notice if you're in a situation and you are fully showed up, you might actually learn something from somebody. You might actually engage with them at a deeper level compared to if you were kind of just at the surface, right? So these are some things that, you know, if you have a little checklist of success, did I help somebody? Did I get better at something real? Did I make time for stillness or my body? And did I show up fully, right? Now, when we look at success in terms of an overall or hierarchical structure, there's some really good questions to ask yourself as like a barometer. The five I just mentioned are more what I can do today, more daily checkup questions. But in terms of success and, you know, outside of the internet, what would success look like if nobody could see it? Now, if that answer to you is going to be very important to what you do. And would you still want the same things or different ones if no one could see it, right? And what does this mean for you? If you're a young person, you don't know what you want to do, and you're struggling with a definition of success, I want to tell you that that is perfectly okay. And you don't need to understand this for yourself right away. I would just go back to those questions I said before and kind of reimagine how you'd like to live your life, how you'd like to be fulfilled. And I also might look at what I'm good at, what the world wants, and what I can get paid for, and try and find that ikigai, right? If you're a creator, it's definitely much the same. Embracing the principles of this episode will lead you to making more long-term content, making more mindful content, and not chasing trends. Similarly, if you're a new creator like me and you're looking at others and you're comparing yourself to them, you gotta remember that they've been doing it for a little bit longer, and this is a creative outlet. So for me, I don't put out videos so that I can hit X amount of views. And I think if you're looking at it that way, if you're looking at this new definition of success that the internet has given us, you're setting yourself up for failure. So as a creator, you really do need to obviously find that intersection between what the world wants, what the world can pay you for, and what you're good at, but you can't fall into this comparison trap. If you're in a 9-to-5 job, you really need to look at these questions as well. Am I present? Am I putting stuff away for myself? Am I really chasing this idea of success based on others or based on myself? Now, the caveat with the 9-to-5ers is we all need money. We all need to pay our rent, to buy groceries for ourselves, to fund our lifestyle. So it doesn't have to be, you know, this careerist type thing. There are lots of people going to work every day who are just trying to make a living, right? I totally understand that. But if you're at your job and you're wondering, am I being successful? There are tons of ways to measure that. Not just based on performance, raises, salary increases, all that kind of stuff. No, it really can be more about, am I aligned with what I want to do? Am I doing better every day? Am I getting better every day? Am I helping people, right? And if the answer is no to all these questions, it might be time for a rethink in terms of your job, definitely. Of course, caveat for people who need to stay where they are so that they can fund their lifestyle. That's obviously one big aspect of it. There's another category of people I'd like to speak to as well, and those are the dreamers. Definitely, if you're one of those people like me who has been in situations in their life where you're looking at, am I successful and what could that look like one day? The sky's the limit. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a dreamer and you're looking at this kind of thing and you're looking at the internet today and you feel like a failure, that's not necessarily the worst thing ever. It's actually a byproduct of you being online, you being chronically online. But as a dreamer, you have a special place in this world to redefine your own definitions of success. And you can imagine stuff outside of the frame of others and go for it, right? That's the beauty of this world that we're living in, is there are so many new things emerging every day, so many new trends, that if you are a dreamer, it's definitely something that you can use for yourself. Now, dreamers have this big problem of maybe being a bit lofty in their sight lines, and that's a good thing. Again, I'm just going to tell you. So if you're in that boat and you're saying, well, I'm not successful, but I have these big dreams ahead of me, stay off social media. Make sure that you're really exploring yourself. You're doing all these things to stay mindful, to stay present, and you'll be just fine. So while the internet didn't really break success, it did kind of break our mirror. And if you're somebody who's feeling behind, if you're looking online and you have this sense of doom and gloom, remember that that is a byproduct of the hardwiring in our monkey minds. It's not necessarily because it's true, right? And when you ground yourself, when you're mindful, and when you look within, compare yourself to you, not to everyone else. And so the only person that I'm really up against every single day is Jesse from yesterday. Not anybody on my social media channel, not anybody that I want to be like. Of course, that is in my mind. I do have measurements of people. I do have, you know, sight lines. I do have people I want to be like. But again, I don't punish myself based on what my little screen with a mirror has on it. So that's my point for today. The internet has not really broken our idea of success. It has significantly changed it. And this is something to definitely be mindful of. But also remember, it's a completely unique system and it has nothing to do with you. So if you're sitting and you're saying, well, I'm not really sure where I could be successful today or that I am, remember, that is actually by design. Thanks again for listening today. If you have any comments, any questions, anything you'd like to add to this, I would love to hear from you below. As always, we'll be doing this every other Saturday, and I want to thank you again for listening. Have a great day.